It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Friday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Congratulations, you have made it. The weekend is here. You guys get a chuckle. I don't even follow the account, but I see it every Friday, that the weekend account, and it has Bond saying, ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Yeah, Big Orange Mac tweets that or retweets that account.
It's so affirming and refreshing and joyful, relaxing.
Yeah, not all of us get every weekend off, though.
Ladies and gentlemen, Marcus Young.
Thank you, Russell.
You're welcome.
At number one, Tennessee Lady Vols softball is currently underway as they are at the top of the third, up 4-1. UT Sports needs to fix their site, though, because if you go just to the main page, it makes it look like Texas is up 4-1. But Tennessee is up 4-1.
You don't need to take shots and throw UTSports.com under the bus like that.
Somebody like Tucker over there has made a mistake.
Some people don't have an opportunity to have a TV. Maybe they use the online as their way of learning about scores.
He's just still salty from your conversation with Jamie, I see.
No, I'm doing just fine. What would I be salty about with Jamie? He's wrong.
I don't know.
You know what he is? He's calmer than you, Russ.
Marcus is calmer than me? Is calmer than this piece of carpet underneath my feet.
I'm going to very quickly editorialize. I'm calmer than Jamie.
Uh-huh.
Jamie's wrong. You're holding water for Will Levis.
Oh!
And TJ, the Kentucky fan, doesn't argue with me anymore because he knows he's wrong.
You can't even make it past number one on the top 5 at 5 without letting the chopper spray, man. Pull it together, Marcus. We only got one more hour.
At number two, DeAndre Hopkins has been released by the Arizona Cardinals after 3 seasons. Hopkins' future with the Cardinals had been questioned since the end of the 22 season, given his $30.75 million cap hit. The Arizona Cardinals had been shopping him around, unable to do so through a trade, have released the 30-year-old receiver.
DraftNetwork.com lists the 3 best fits in free agency for DeAndre Hopkins. Number 1, the Buffalo Bills.
Makes sense.
Number 2, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
And number 3, my Titans.
Okay, let me ask you guys this. I've been thinking about this a lot.
I'm going to let you ask me.
Marcus, Russell.
Fair.
What if we get a 30-year-old wide receiver? I feel like the Titans have been down this road quite a few times.
Gentlemen. Definitely a little gunshot.
Strong Julio Jones vibes. Who else have we gotten like that?
Carl Pickens going all the way back in the day. Moss.
Andre Johnson.
Yeah.
We get him with they show up in the running
different
on
different position, but Peterson.
Here's the thing, though.
Adrian Peterson.
This is what worries me about getting any type of 30 or older receiver now, is that, I mean, I remember Jeff Fisher pretty much admitted that picking up Randy Moss was used as a, quote, decoy to help CJ2K when we were focusing heavily on the run. You can argue with me if you want. This team is focused on the run. I know they're going to have to throw it, but I just don't know if this is going to be the type of offense Nuke would want to be a part of.
Yeah, it might not, but you'd rather play for the Chiefs or the Bills, obviously. Any receiver would, but there are other considerations to go into effect here, including, obviously, money. But, no, I'm with you for sure, Bear. Like, I can totally see taking a flyer 1 year, throwing $10 million bucks or whatever at DeAndre Hopkins.
Heavily incentive-laden.
I could see him being – playing like 6 games, constant hamstring injuries, failing to make an impact, it just being a total
locker room.
By week 16, we're like, what were we thinking?
You got these young. You had a fairly good draft. You got these young guys coming in. You're in a transitional kind of period for the franchise. There's that whole end of it. You know, he can be a problem in the locker room.
I've got a question for you later, but we're gonna finish this because this makes me think of something. At number three, Lions Jameson Williams, quote, wasn't aware of the NFL gambling policy. Jameson Williams admitted to feeling, quote, sick and hurt on the night of April 20th when the Detroit Lions second-year receiver learned of his six-game suspension for violating the NFL's gambling policy. He said he was blindsided by the ruling, which was formally announced the next morning. Quote, I didn't know things like this was coming, but it took me some time, and I just thought about the better days of moving forward. It's not my last day living, so I just got to look forward to better days. How do you not know? You can't gamble when literally a wide receiver was banned for an entire year.
Another former Bama wide receiver.
Not long before you.
Not only that, I mean, I thought that, like, when you enter the league, it was always my understanding that you have to go to, like, rookie meetings where they specifically spell out the rules about all that
stuff. I'm not buying he didn't know.
No, I'm not either.
I mean,
I'm not saying he should be gone forever, but you messed up, man.
Yeah, got to own it.
At number four, Le'Veon Bell makes some news as he makes an interesting admission. Le'Veon Bell talked about how he smoked weed before games when he was a Pittsburgh Steeler.
No.
Really?
Here's a quote from a podcast he was a part of for a Steelers podcast saying, regardless, I was wrong talking about his misconception of the whole weed thing, as he puts it, just because, man, like, I shouldn't have smoked in the car regardless, but looking back on it, that's what I did. When I was playing football, I smoked. Even before the games, I smoked. And I'd go out there and run for 150 yards and two touchdowns.
I'm not a grass expert.
He also said that it was a lot easier to get around the rules during that time because once you passed an early test in the season, the league would never test a player again for it. He also stated that he would like one more shot in the NFL before he retires as a Steeler.
Hey, I smoked hella amounts of weed on the way to the stadium back when I was with the Steelers. I'd really like one more shot. How old is he now?
Old enough to know better.
30s at least.
He's 31.
I understand some guys have to get shots and, you know, pain relief to.
Well, remember, there was that one time where he just didn't show up for like 8 weeks in the season, remember?
He blowed away.
He was honestly, I know Najee Harris is a really good running back, but in the modern era of the Steelers, Le'Veon Bell was probably their best running back.
Well, I've always said, you know, marijuana probably shouldn't be illegal. It should certainly be decriminalized. I would advise against it. And say what you will about smoking it, you are certainly not empowered physically. It's not a performance-enhancing drug.
No.
I'm sure Le'Veon, he might think that it helped him. I don't think it helped. He might have ran for 150 yards high. Maybe he would have hit 200. It's like, I don't think Mickey Mantle was staggering up there in a hungover daze in the mid-1960s thinking, man, if I were just a little bit more drunk, maybe I could hit the ball further.
I think the main reason, I mean, Megatron talked about it for a little while too, Calvin Johnson, but I think a lot of it just had to do with the pain throughout the game. I think that was part of the reason why they
I get that.
I've never bought
that.
People like smoking weed because they like smoking weed. It gets them high. There are plenty of other better things to manage pain. I want to get down the weed guy is getting pissed off at this, but he smoked weed because he's pothead and he likes smoking weed. There was no medicinal value to a 25-year-old NFL running back.
You don't think that it has medical help?
It does, it does, Marcus, but what he's saying is you shouldn't be smoking it on the way to the game. Russell probably wouldn't care if he was using it after the game as a way of pain management. Unless I'm wrong, Russ, would you rather have meat and pills all day?
I'm skeptical of all the medicinal marijuana.
Purdue Farmer Russ over here, Marcus.
Stuff.
Look at him.
Yes, that's
get MoxiCotton.
Exactly, that's exactly what I said, but we won't get into that.
OxyContin for everybody.
Debate.
And finally, at number five, terrifying moment as a plane door was opened mid-air on an Asiana airline flight.
There's video of this going viral this afternoon.
The door of an Asiana Airlines jet opened as it was coming to land in South Korea on Friday afternoon, leaving wind whipping through the plane's cabin as terrified passengers gripped their armrests. Videos showing the incident. The airline official said a man in his 30s was sitting at the emergency seat, seemed to have opened the door when the aircraft was about 700 feet above the ground and about 2 to 3 minutes from landing in the city 150 miles south of Seoul. However, company officials told CNN the plane had landed safely. Local police said a man had been arrested. They said he confessed to opening the door but would not say why he did.
There's video of everybody whips out their phone. These guys are just flying through the air on a jumbo jet. Well, the door open.
That makes more sense. They were going into land, and then he got the door open. That makes a lot more sense. But the big question, I don't think you were in the room. Here's the deal with something like this. If you're on that plane, what do you do if you notice that the guy's starting to mess with the door? Do you go ahead and unbuckle and go try and stop him? Because if you don't get to him before he gets that door open, you could go all the way out.
I mean, I feel like, you know, there's a reason the flight attendant asks you, like, can you handle the responsibility of sitting in the exit row?
Well, I'm sure that got told her,
first of all, there's a physical component to it. Yeah, you got to be able to open the door. But I also think there's, like, a mental awareness thing. If the guy you're sitting next to happens to be a psycho and decides, hey, I'm going to open the emergency door while the plane's in flight, you've got to be able to, A, raise a ruckus, get people's attention, get some flight attendants, get the air marshal over there to subdue this guy before he can get it open. And B, I think you've got to be able to, put him in a headlock, throw some punches, do whatever you got to do. Yeah.
Yeah. You get picked for that seat?
I mean,
they ever ask if you want to sit there?
No, I mean, I've sat there before, and like they come up and say, hey, can you handle this? And I'm just like, I can handle it a lot better than sitting somewhere without less leg room.
That's what I figured, because you're tall. It's usually the first thing you give. That'd be pretty wild, though. Did the masks drop? Because I feel like if I was ever on a flight and that happened.
There's no masks. Let's be honest, man. If you're sitting there and the guy next to you opens the damn door and you're looking out there and it's like 10,000 feet down, even if you're descending, are you really going to have the wherewithal to put that little margarine cup mask on and start breathing normally?
No.
I'll be too busy crapping my pants to do much of anything else.
Well, I wonder how long
you seen this pile of crap?
How long it took people to figure out what he was doing.
I think it's
pretty instantaneous.
Hey buddy.
I'm surprised that we haven't seen a video with more of it.
What are you doing with that door handle there, buddy? Hey, bud, I'm talking to you, man. Hey.
So you're unbuckling if you're sitting next to him and you're starting throwing bows.
I mean, if you're sitting next to him, like, I guess you don't really, like, just reach over and grab the guy, right? And start saying, hey! Psycho boy here is trying to open the door. Somebody want to come over? Air Marshal, you want to come over here and tase this guy?
I'm going to kick your ass for opening the emergency
door.
It's
been a while since we've gone on that riff. Feel like since we started doing it, you've stopped threatening people, which is probably a good thing. Yeah. But lose one of my favorite rants.
I'm bringing it around sometime.
Thank you, Marcus. That is the top five at five. Open lines the rest of the way if you want to jump in. 865-546-8200, your number to get on board the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Let's go back to them now and talk to ZR.
Wilmer Wilmer is a clam.
We're working like heck.
Baby sails the sea. Rick Barnes is a great recruiter. Let the portal
pathetic
help us win. What's going on, guys?
Not much, ZR. How you doing, buddy? I hate to break up
I'm
your song.
Good.
Thanks for working us in.
How how's their basketball recruiting going? Have you heard anything? Do we have any great prospects coming out of the portal like we did last year?
Well, the three portal transfer players are on campus right now going through off-season workouts, yes.
Can they shoot?
I've heard Ganey's son can.
Really?
That's what I've heard. We'll see.
How about BJ? You think he's going to do well where he's going?
I hope so. He's got Rob Lanier coaching him down there at SMU, and he's going to have an opportunity to play, I would imagine.
You know, I'm sick of Rick Barnes. Are you?
Yeah, man, having a top 25 basketball team that goes to the tournament every year, has won a conference championship, a conference tournament championship, regularly puts guys in the NBA. It really sucks, man. I can't wait for him to go.
Doesn't he regularly run people off that can help this program?
Like who?
B.J. Edwards, for one.
I don't know. We haven't seen him play yet.
Why didn't we see him play? He's the best point guard we've ever recruited over there, and he
hold
sat
on
the bench.
Who?
Hold
on, ZR, hold on, calm down. Who has Rick Barnes run off? Who has transferred out of this program that has performed well enough at their new school that we regret having missed out on him?
Everybody that leaves.
Everybody that leaves. You think Drew Pember, Devontae Gaines, Quentin DeBunje, you think those are the missing ingredients for postseason success under Rick Barnes? You think we miss all of those guys?
We miss them.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Interesting. ZR, are you high right now?
Was he not going to contribute?
DJ Burns? I mean, if he could put the weed down for long enough to practice, I mean, it looks like he's about ate up an entire Golden Corral over there in Raleigh.
They all smoke weed.
That's not true. That's not true.
I mean, you really?
No, not really.
Oh, really? Really? You don't think so?
I think you're smoking weed.
No, I'm at the drink tank.
I mean,
we don't do that at the drink tank.
Smashed!
We have drink hot dogs, drink hamburgers.
Smashed!
Drink Mountain Dew.
Why don't you have a drink as you walk away from the Bluetooth speaker?
Smashed!
Filmer Wilmer is a clown. And that Kentucky fan sucks, too. Oh, God! Bye-bye.
I mean, good grief.
It was an interesting call.
I thought we were past that. I thought the Barnes Bashers had gotten it all out of their systems. I guess there's no overtime this week. There's nowhere else for them to turn to spew their nonsensical, venomous bile on the Fan Run airwaves. I apologize to the 90% of our audience with functioning synapses and brain cells who found that call to be as moronic as I did.
I mean, they call. They follow Jake to the blitz. But would it surprise you guys that the calls don't have the same level of vitriol and venom? And sometimes just pure outright stupidity that they do when they call us and act silly.
865-546-8200, your number to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Couple lines available right now, 546-8200. We pause for the cause. Back with more right after this. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. 865-546-8200, your number to get on board the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. These orange uniforms that Tennessee's wearing today in softball.
I like them.
I was thinking about, hear me out. I think I've actually said this before on the show.
Right.
What am I going to say?
I have no idea.
Orange on orange uniforms, baseball. You heard. orange pants, orange jerseys, UT baseball, orange caps, orange shoes if you want.
Just an orange out?
All orange. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but if it doesn't look good, man, you look like a clown.
It's not going to look good. You are going to look like clowns. But it gets attention, and it's going to be highly unique. It's going to be something that the fans would love, I guarantee you.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I like the look with the softball team here. But they got white socks, white cleats, and white hats.
I'm not married to the cleats and the hat. You do whatever. I'm just on orange pants, orange jerseys for baseball. The Baltimore Orioles have an orange-on-orange look that they break out from time to time. It's glorious. Now, they got a lot more black in the uniform, so it's got a kind of Halloween-y vibe thing going on there. But it's fantastic. I'm going to have to pitch this to Vitello.
Have at it, man.
Orange-on-orange. Who's coming with me? Who's coming with me? Tucker, you get on board the orange-on-orange bandwagon. You're not looking very sold over there.
I like it for football, but I'm on the fence about it for baseball.
Just brings back it. What it does is it triggers me into remembering the I'm a lot older than you, buddy. The infamous all orange Alabama game, where those kids over in Africa ended up with those orange.
Well, we haven't. Man, white helmets there. I think you got to go orange on. I think you got to go full on orange. Bring out the orange helmets.
Oh God, I never want to see those things again.
You got to wear them. You got to wear the orange, the all orange look with the orange helmets against like Akron or somebody, so that we can have an exorcism. Because if we wear them for a big game and we lose again, people are gonna not ever want to see them again.
Oh, I mean that South Carolina loss was so bad. I never want to see them again now. They're much like the
helmets didn't have
shoes.
Nothing to do with it. Helmets didn't have nothing to do with it.
No, we went in there and got whooped.
Didn't we lose the we lost the first Smoky Gray game against Georgia, the Adidas Smoky Grays.
Was that the one where Pig scored, but they called it a fumble?
It's the one where you think Pig scored, but you're the only one who thinks that.
Pig agrees with me.
I don't think he does in his heart of hearts. Did we lose the second? No, the second.
What was the first one we won?
I do think Vanderbilt, that Vanderbilt game that year, did have the Smoky Grays as well. The Adidas.
And we lost that one too, right?
Yes.
We were 0-2 in them.
Yeah.
Did we wear them in – that was 2014, right?
No, it was 13.
We lost to Vanderbilt in 13?
Yes, we did. That was James Franklin. That was their peak right there, Vanderbilt. And then they just fell off because he took the job at Penn State.
So that's when Jamie claims that that's when he first called for Butch Jones to be fired.
Well, that's not nice. That's
according
not nice.
To
be kind.
WVLT, Tennessee owns a 3-1 record while wearing the Nike Smoky Gray uniforms.
Not that.
Who's our only what's our loss? You don't remember?
Georgia 17, I believe. Mm. The 41-0 game.
44-0, 41.
Yeah.
It says here, including a pair of 21-point comeback wins, 2015 versus Georgia and 2016 versus Florida, and a 38-24 victory over Nebraska was when we also wore the other Smoky Gray.
Well, he was in trouble. I forgot. Everybody always forgets it, or I do, how far we got down to them. If he'd gone on and lost that game that year, does that kind of ease some of the pressure up? Do you remember that, Russ?
What, Florida?
No, the Georgia game, 2015.
Mm-hmm.
How that really
where we were getting blowed out in the first half and
won. we were ready to kill Botch.
Scottie Pippen, we have a lot of talk about drug consumption, about dope smoking today on the show. And I'm convinced that Scottie Pippen has been into the devil's lettuce this afternoon.
What's he saying?
He's back. He's on NBA Central TV doing an interview. Or he's on a poorly framed webcam. Scottie's got the dreads out, looking very relaxed. Asked the LeBron-Jordan comparison. And I guess Scottie would be a good person to ask, having played with Jordan.
Yeah.
Scottie Pippen today says, quote, LeBron James will be the greatest statistical player to ever play the game of basketball. Michael Jordan, when he first came into the league, was a horrible player. Scottie Pippen today.
Scottie's a hater.
What happened to it, man? Why is he like this?
Did you not watch all that?
Why has he got to do this every year now?
I don't know. What's funny is I saw a video I'd never really seen. I'm sure there's tons of it, but it was the first time I'd seen one the other night where they were asking Jordan about, you know, the whole thing about being the GOAT or who he thinks it, you know. And his answer was really it was fascinating. Because Jordan is somebody from in his mind, you can't separate certain players from certain eras. Like he said, Wilt Chamberlain, and Bill Russell tormented.
Played in a different game than Jordan played in.
Yeah.
And he says this is a different game that's being played now than the one he played?
Well, no, they didn't get that far. I mean, it cut off. I need to go find the interview. It was one of those compilation videos that you see on YouTube. I don't know. I watch a lot of NBA videos. But he just said once in generational players. But the one name he did mention was, believe it or not, Larry Bird.
Jordan said Bird was in the conversation?
Yeah.
Well, as far as the comparisons go, the era comparisons go, I would argue that, yeah, the game changes, the game evolves. Obviously, the game that's played today is totally different than the game that's played 50 years ago. It's a lot different than the game that was played 25 years ago. But I think that the game today, the game Jordan played, is a lot closer and more similar to the game that's played today than comparing the game Jordan played to the game that was played in the early 70s, 25 years ahead of time.
Back when Kareem first came in the league.
When there's no three-point line and there's more quote-unquote, you know, and you do have Kareem, Russell, Wilt, you know, just dominant around the basket players.
Moses came in and he was a 70s guy. The 70s guys. There's a couple of them that kind of bridged Dr. J, the 70s into the 80s.
And I've always said I think great players would adjust to whatever the era in. LeBron James would be a great basketball player in any era, just like Jordan and
Kobe,
and Wilt,
Shaq,
and all those guys.
Everybody
would.
From each era.
But, you know, to me, you get into the numbers, and I've never I don't think championships is the be-all, end-all argument maker for any sport, and basketball is the same way. And I don't think statistics are necessarily either. Just think Jordan and anybody who grew up watching him got to see him play had a little bit something different, man. And Kobe was probably the closest as far as having that Mamba mentality, I guess is what he called it, that you don't see it much, man. It's not a healthy thing to have, as evidenced in The Last Dance. I mean, that was a key takeaway. It's like I look at Michael Jordan and for all his success, I don't see a happy man.
No, they hate losing more than they love winning.
Yeah, well, and it drives it. They don't have close relationships with other people because their obsession with winning is so singular that, you know, they would
push everything out.
Yeah, they'd rather win than have. You know, it's a very much an addictive type thing. But I don't know. I just sort of roll my eyes and people. They try to get that conversation going again, and it might have been interesting when LeBron was first winning his championships to compare him to Jordan and everything, but I feel like the steam out of those arguments has really lost the past couple of years. And now when people try to make that argument that LeBron James is somehow Michael Jordan's equal or is better, people who saw both players play just sort of roll their eyes and be like, really, this again?
Yeah,
we're going to try to have this conversation. It's stupid.
What I like watching are in the rabbit hole went down were great players talking about who their favorite players were and why.
Mm-hmm.
You find some really cool stuff. So give you new appreciation for people you might not have appreciated.
Who's your favorite player besides Jordan? Assuming Jordan is number one.
I mean, honestly, no.
He's not?
I mean,
he's... Oh, you're a Kareem guy, right? That's right.
I mean, I always loved Kareem growing up. I was a Lakers fan. I don't know. I mean, there's just certain guys that I like. Like, I didn't like the Celtics at all because I was a Lakers fan growing up, but I started pulling for the Celtics when Garnett went there just because he's the mouth. I mean, the guy's like, there's nobody better at talking than him.
I hate the Warriors so much, man, because I feel like if I didn't, Steph Curry would be a lot of fun to watch. But I can't. They're just a team. It's kind of like the Pistons were in the late 80s, early 90s. I cannot pull for them when I watch them. And so
he does give off an old school Piston vibe, Steph Curry does. Like, I mean, he's really, really good. There's really no reason you probably shouldn't like him, but
well, I feel like I'm in a minority there. I feel, you know, the Pistons were widely hated in the 80s and 90s. I don't feel like that was any sort of special thing to or thing that you had to explain to not like the Pistons. I feel like the Warriors are pretty popular, especially like young kids love the Warriors, man. People love to watch the Warriors, and I feel like I'm in a minority there as far as watching them and not liking them.
To me, they're like the basketball version of the Patriots to me.
All right. A couple of things we have to hit on before we get out of here. I teased this earlier. We have to call young Tucker Harlan to the floor this afternoon.
No.
He made his first mistake, a mistake that actually ended up making me look bad because we gave Tucker a homework assignment on Wednesday during the show.
We gave him homework?
I love how not only can you not remember something that happened 2 days ago on the show, you can't remember that we talked about this again yesterday.
What was his homework assignment?
We assigned Tucker on Wednesday to find out how many days we were away from kickoff.
Okay.
And I assume that he went on his phone and looked it up, and he told us on the air that it was 100 days Wednesday from kickoff. Tennessee versus Virginia in Nissan Stadium. And so I said that, wow, isn't that cool, 100 days? And we ran with that Wednesday. And then I repeated that multiple times yesterday because there was a graphic that came out that it was 100 days till kickoff in Neyland Stadium for the home opener. Who are we playing in the home opener? Akron or somebody like that? Whoever. UConn. It's neither one of those teams. But anyway, and trusting the new guy, trusting Tucker, I said, oh, I don't even remember what I said. What it gets down to is he was wrong. He said that it was 100 days till kickoff on Wednesday for Tennessee against Virginia, and it wasn't. It was 100 days till kickoff yesterday. 100 days till the first game. It was yesterday, 100 days till Virginia, right?
I think you're twisting this thing around a little bit.
Well, I'm confused now because you gave us wrong information. That's the only thing I'm sure of at this point.
Here's what I said. I thought you meant kickoff for the college football season in general, so I actually said 94 days.
You did not say 94 days.
Yes,
I would have remembered
it. I did
say
94 days.
You said 100 days.
I was looking at a countdown, and it said 94, Russell.
First of all, lower your tone. Show a little respect. Second of all, we could go back and pull the audio. You said 100 days from Wednesday, it's Tennessee, it's Virginia in Nissan Stadium. Did he not?
I would just also like to point out, even if he did say 94 days, he would have been wrong either way. Because it's 99 days today. So whether it was
Tucker.
So whether it was 100 or 94, I genuinely don't remember. We'll have to go back
to the
tape.
Doesn't even matter. You're wrong both times.
Yeah, either way, it was wrong.
Classic drive move. I've done it myself numerous times. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it, Tucker.
Quit trying to wiggle out of this and squirm away. And
smarter
pull
than
and go,
you have tried.
And pull a bear and try and act like you were right when everybody knows you were wrong. Made me look bad. And worst of all, I don't even know. What is it 99 days from today?
Yeah, I looked
it up. Is Tennessee and Virginia?
99 days until September
2nd. So it was 100 days yesterday.
Correct.
99 problems.
your first mistake, and you can't even own it. You can't even own it. And just, this is a very bad way to start off. I mean, look, Tucker, I mean, you are literally sitting right now between me and Bear. You are at a crossroads of your career. You have come, son, to a fork in the road. Down one path, that. No credibility.
You
no professionalism.
Your mouth,
no credibility whatsoever. And down the other road, you're me. Me. Professional.
A liar.
Credible. A beacon of integrity.
Backstabbing son of a.
And journalistic professionalism. Which road are you going to go down, Tucker? I mean, a decision to make. Right
are,
now.
Are you really trying
right
to
now.
Take my. I don't. I mean, you've already took Chloe. I never get to have an intern.
There's no.
Never get to have an intern.
I
you got
to
take them all over.
You get possessive of these people. It's
me.
Weird.
You turn everybody against me.
Not turning
anybody
against you.
I'm the bad guy.
I'm just giving him an opportunity right now. You got a choice, Tucker. Which road are you taking? Which path are you taking?
I advise you right now. It has not been proven that what you said, that you said what they said you said. If you're that convinced about it, Tucker, I'd make him pull the tape.
Boy, this feels.
I'm very convinced that I said 94 days because there was a timer.
Then tell Russell to pound sand and let's pull the audio and let the chips fall where they may.
There was a countdown that I was looking at. I Googled it. It said 94 days until college football kickoff.
Wait a minute.
Exactly. Couldn't even follow simple instructions.
Yeah, that is the other point, though.
I didn't hear Tennessee mentioned in that sentence at all.
What do you think
so
we're talking
assumed.
About here, Tucker?
Come on,
you
Tucker.
Think I want to know when Notre Dame opens up against Virginia or whoever
or
they're playing
Vanderbilt's
in Ireland or something?
Playing damn Hawaii?
Come on, dude.
And come on now.
Take a little responsibility.
We all have to
Tucker.
Do. We all go through this, Tucker.
What hour was that? That was Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Hour two was cockfighting is bad, kids. And then hour three was Song of the Whales. Which hour was that in?
I don't know. But that was a strong show, I must say, on Wednesday.
Probably would have been hour three.
There's a lot going on in hour three.
Can we get
a
some more whale music?
I would like to point out, in case you're curious.
That's not as good as the actual whale music.
Can I, as a non, I'm neutral. I'm Switzerland right now.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he
never
said
got my back.
100, I do always have your back, Russell. Mm-hmm. Whether he said 100 days
are you
or 94,
me?
He gave you wrong information. The only argument he could use would be if he told you, like if he pulled the tape up and showed that you didn't say Tennessee kickoff. That's his only defense. I want to
pull the tape. I want to because
if you said Tennessee kickoff or in some matter where it was clearly about Tennessee football.
All right.
Did Marcus Young, you. Attorney at law, just check in here and is thread the needle for Tucker?
We're gonna take a break. I'm gonna see if I can find it real quickly.
I'll just say I remember when I first got yelled at by you two for messing up the podcast.
It was a sad day for us.
It was really hard. It was a lot like rougher than what.
It
was.
Tucker looks very chastened right now. Very chastised.
It wasn't. You do need to turn the bass down when you're speaking to Mr. Smith, though. I'll just go ahead and tell you. You were a little out of line yourself, Tucker. You were. You know you were. You were a little out of line. You know
a little out of line yourself.
Raise your voice at Russell. Yeah, that whole thing with being a late bloomer, whatever that was yesterday. Still not sure about that.
Normally,
we don't take shots at Russ.
Get your shine box. The shocking conclusion of the drive coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio, 865-546-8200. Your number, speak now, forever hold your peace, 546-8200. Back to wrap things up after this.
All right. Back here on the drive. Currently, Russell is in the vestibule at the Fan Run Annex here. Tape is being pulled, Marcus. Tape is being pulled.
The threat has finally been fulfilled.
I mean, we've threatened to do this how many times over the years? I'll pull the tape.
It's been said.
I'm the first one that's officially been put on trial.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of it's got to do with, you know, you don't do what were you doing yesterday? You won't make that kind of comment to him. Did you see how offended he looked?
I didn't mean for it to be that way.
You were, like I said, a little out of line. And then, you know, because I'm telling you, it's been my experience. He's got a really good memory for stuff like this. And if he thinks he's got you, he usually got you. But the eye in the sky doesn't lie. We're getting ready to find out as Russell Smith re-enters the studio. Russell?
Are we on?
Yeah.
What have you guys been doing? Just waiting for me to come out?
No, we've been talking. We've been talking about the tape.
It's in hour number three. We assigned him the assignment at about 15 minutes into hour number three. I can't.
But what did you say the assignment was?
To find out how many days away kickoff was. Okay. You're right. We need to. That's a key piece of information.
Yeah.
Well, what exactly this?
Now here's
was.
The question.
Yeah.
Do we think he said it off air to you?
No, it was on air.
I'm pretty sure it was on.
Okay.
Air.
It was on air.
Just making sure.
Because there was one. We were chastising him. I did hear the part where like he was trying to explain to us the plot of The Crucible.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He was really struggling.
I was struggling because I was thinking about something and I
was
I
it
just
after that?
The out.
Was the
wasn't that right before? I thought it was right before.
It was before.
It was before that.
If I'm not mistaken.
Because okay. that was towards the end of the show.
Yeah, because we were talking about what was it? Betting lines.
Yeah.
Early betting lines.
Yeah. The thing I feel bad about is at some point I have a slight recollection of me saying probably what was completely the wrong answer to this question. I don't know. You're on your own, Tucker. Funniest crack you've made all week wasn't even on air.
Yeah, that was very nice.
Hurt Russell's feelings.
And I remember.
I'm sorry, Russell. I did not mean for it to be that way yesterday.
You called him a late bloomer. Or no, he said I'm a late bloomer. I was a late bloomer. And what did you say, Tucker?
I'm not going to say it.
Really? Be a man. Just go ahead and say it.
I could tell. I mean, listen.
You could tell.
I mean, late bloomers are usually the tallest, right?
We do tend up to.
That wasn't the vibe I got off that comment.
Is being a late bloomer, like it's frustrating. Because I was, man. It was frustrating to see like all my contemporaries go through puberty before me. It's like, when am I going to get armpit hair? You know, like that was.
Well,
that was
you like 16?
Yeah, that was late. I don't know exactly, but it was like a year or two later than most everybody else. And so like it's frustrating at the time, but like I'm not embarrassed at all about it now. Like looking back, it's just like
it's just a fact of life.
Yeah, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? I guess they got puberty blockers now. Do you have like a puberty speeder upper?
I'm sure.
Hey Doc, I'm tired of my voice not being as deep as my friends. I'm 16 and I'm still squeaking over here. Can you give me something to lower the bass of my voice?
Like a whole round of like Winstrol or some anabolic horse steroid.
I mean, look at me now. I'm tall with a
I'd take
booming,
that over not,
booming manly voice.
I'd take that over not growing after eighth grade, like yours truly.
Was that what you were early?
Yes.
So you were the first guy to.
Yeah, and then freshman year, everybody
sprout.
Just towered over me somehow.
Like, and then you were just stuck.
Just stopped.
What would you rather be, early or late? You want to be just in the middle, right? Like everybody
yeah.
else.
Yeah, just average. I don't know, late. Like, you get payback on people if they're mean to you.
That's true.
Do you have to repay anybody? Anybody insult you when you were a little guy?
No.
You ain't gone through
I wasn't, like, smaller than everybody.
Did your voice change late and all that?
I don't remember.
Huh.
I don't remember. I mean, it wasn't that traumatic or anything. Anyway, Will, next?
Yes.
Let's get Will the Thrill in here with us before we get out of here. What's up, Will?
Hey, I was just calling to kind of chime in and let Tucker know that I'm a little upset as well. I don't know where the – I can't remember just like you all, but I know that the information was said that it was 100 days till kickoff in Neyland because I'm new at a job and a girl on my team came in and said, hey, guys, 100 days till football time. And I said, no, it's actually good news. It's actually sooner than that. It's 100 days till our home opener.
Look at
before
this.
That, for the,
you're
now
making
I've lost
Tucker.
All my credibility.
Yeah. You're making Will look bad in front of his new coworkers.
Causing problems in his marriage.
See, now you're understanding. You think this is all fun and games. You think, oh, man, I'm just here talking sports with the boys. No. People depend on this show, this program for some reason, to show their friends, family, and coworkers that they are informed sports fans and know what they're talking about. You can't just be on here disseminating misinformation like that. It's unprofessional.
Well, you said it better than I was going to, Russ, but that was just kind of my point. Like, you know, you have a responsibility.
You apologize to Will?
You're informing the public.
No, to Will. You're going to apologize?
He apologized to him.
I'm sorry.
You were blathering on, yo. You talked over his apology. He said, I'm sorry, Will.
I'm sorry.
I'm all for the boy being called to, you know, task for this, but man's only got to apologize once. I'm not doing it again.
I'm sorry.
Well, I'll accept, I guess. Yeah, thank you for letting me be heard. And I'll try and
You're
pick
welcome,
up the pieces of my reputation at work.
You will be heard. You will get to speak your truth on these airwaves, Will. Speak
thank
your
you.
Truth. Thank you. You're very welcome. And again,
have a good
I'm sorry.
Memorial Day
I'm sorry.
Weekend, Will. Tucker, I think you've been doing a fine job.
I appreciate the vote of confidence.
Yep. I think all you guys have. It's unfortunate that we're led by a madman.
LSU women's basketball team went to the White House today.
I heard somebody. Did somebody faint?
Yeah. Freshman Samaya Smith fainted, had to be helped off the stage during the ceremony with President Biden.
Y'all ever see anybody do that? Where they. What is it where you like if you lock your knees or something?
I've heard
about it.
I haven't seen that. I mean, have you ever like kind of passed out while you're on your feet and had to? That happened to me on an airplane once.
Really?
Oh yeah, it was terrible. I fell on somebody.
No, I mean I passed out and fell through it. Did like a Tommy Boy kind of thing before.
I was just like not feeling good. I don't know if I was dehydrated or what. And I was sick. It was when I was going to visit my in-laws for the first time, and I just wasn't feeling well, and I was probably dehydrated or whatever. I'm in the plane. I'm like, man, I'm just, like, sweating, and like, just a mess. And it's like, I'm going to go back to the restroom to, you know, just splash some water on my face or something.
God.
Like, get control. And I'm, like, walking back there, and as I'm approaching, like, I just – like the
everything goes away,
everything just went blank, and I've like feel myself starting to fall. Like I'm trying to be like Coach K. Remember when Coach K just like kind of lied down on
crumpled
the ground
to the floor?
Like I'm trying. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get down, but the next thing I know, I'm like on somebody. I just fell on somebody in the plane. I'm like, oh man, I'm sorry, bro. Sorry. Stewardess is like, oh my god, freaking out. Yeah, it was super embarrassing.
Yeah, mine was completely just self-induced. It had nothing to do with being ill.
Self-induced?
I just was blown away.
Oh.
It's the hatred of screen doors.
That note. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Hope everybody has a fine Memorial Day, 3-day weekend for your friends here at Fan Run Radio. So I guess we'll have the short work week next week. Be with you Tuesday, 3 to 6 right here, and hopefully we'll have overtime to hand it off to next week.
Hopefully.
With a couple of new, maybe some new voices on there as well. All right, thank you, Tucker Harlan. Don't let it happen again. Thank you, Marcus Young. Bear, I'm Russell Smith. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Tuesday right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
It's time to remix the classic.